I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the First Exchange Podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, when I say you guys are in for a treat this week, you are in for a treat. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I had a wonderful friend of mine called Teddy Darling on the podcast. He came on to talk about his life, creativity, music, graffiti, everything that he's been involved in for the last couple of years. A wonderfully fantastic creative character. While he was in here, he had mentioned about his mom and said, you know, you two will get on very, very well. I was talking about my love of spirituality and, you know, my love of going to mediums and having spiritual healing done and working with shamans and all the rest. And said, oh, my mom is a medium. And from there, I was like, 100%, your mom needs to come in. We need to get her in. We need to talk to her on this podcast. I need to know all the answers. So today was the day that his mom came in, the wonderful Colette Darling. She came in and we instantly just connected, and she spent an hour just telling us about how she got started as a clairsentient medium and her journeys within it. She also done a fantastic, I want you to listen, I don't want to spoil it, but she done a bit of a reading on me, and we had a few I'm getting shivers even thinking about it. We had a few guests come in as well from the spiritual world that you have to listen to. But fantastic. I hope you really enjoy it. Before I let you go enjoy it, just another very quick thank you so much. I say it every week, but thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you for all the love that you've given on Twitter and the DM. I really appreciate it. So thank you very much. Without further ado, I will let you go and enjoy the 61st episode of the First Exchange Podcast with Colette Darling. Put up my chakra before I go.
I'll rub mine.
That's beautiful, actually. That's stunning. It is stunning.
Yeah.
Is it an antique?
It is. It's old.
It's stunning.
But it's amber. It's real amber. So amber is ancient.
Wow.
Amber is not a crystal.
Really?
Yeah, amber is resin.
Wow.
Amber comes from a sap of trees of thousands of years ago.
Wow.
So that's where Jurassic Park came back to life with the fly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's, was that amber?
It's amber. So amber is resin. It's actually not a stone.
Wow.
You know? So it's not grown in the ground. It's from the sap of trees from thousands of years ago.
Wow.
I hope you recorded that piece of information.
Is it recorded?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's go into it. We're here now.
Yeah. This is the perfect opener.
Welcome, Colette Darling.
Thanks for having me, Lydia.
No problem. I'm so excited that you came in. For context, we must go back. Your wonderful son was in episode 58, I think it was, two or three episodes ago, Teddy Darling. He came in to talk, obviously, about his journey in music, creativity, graffiti, the whole lot. And we began speaking about your good self.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah, I heard.
And he was telling me, obviously, all about you. And I was like, as soon as we wrapped up, I was like, Teddy, you have to get that woman in. I need to speak to that woman. He was like, no problem. I said, will she do it? 100%.
Of course, yeah. That was the voluntary. Yeah, you volunteered me there no matter what. He didn't even clear it with me. You know?
That's what I mean. I said to him after, I was like, are you sure? Now, don't put the porter under pressure, you know? And he's like, no, she'd love to. She'll get on like a house on fire. In you go. I was like, right, okay. So I'm delighted you came in. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to having a chat. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know. So, I mean, let's kind of go to why I wanted to get you in, because Teddy was speaking and we were talking about kind of like spirituality and the spiritual realm and like where we both sit on it. And then I was telling him about my experiences within my own spirituality and then what has lent itself to, like, we'll say Reiki, you know, meditation, breath work, mediums, going to
Larges.
Yes.
Medium and larges, yeah.
Yeah, and medium and large and smalls. And I had recently done a session with a numerologist, which was incredibly fascinating. So I've had a couple months of sort of dipping my toe, we'll say, in with different people and trying to understand and learn more and understand why the spiritual realm fascinates me so much.
Yeah.
Mm. And then he said, you need to speak to my ma. And he said that you were, you know, well, he said, my mom's a medium. Would you class yourself as a medium?
I'm going to class myself as a clairsentient medium, and I'll tell you why and what the difference is between a clairvoyant medium and a clairsentient medium or a clairaudient medium.
Okay.
Because the clairs are the energy centres in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are naturally born with the gift of sight, insight or foresight.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be more to do with the clairvoyant,
mm-hmm.
which is seeing spirit. A clairsentient, which is connected to the between the heart and the solar plexus, I always say,
mm-hmm.
that energy there, the feeling, the gut feeling, the vibe, the goose pimples, field spirit. So it's more of a clairsentient medium mm-hmm. that I am. But as you develop and trust that gift, because we all have it, some of us might have a couple of them working at the same mm-hmm. time. It's connected to the chakra system, as you know. So some of us might have a couple there, you know what I mean? We might see spirit and we might be able to feel energy. We might be good at kind of walking into spaces and going, oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go in here. I knew that was going to happen. Now, that's the claircognant person.
Right.
The mind, they know when things, I knew that was going to happen before I came in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So all these energies, they're being gifted to us. That's what they're our survival toolkit, really. I mean, it is obviously the evolving of the human that has changed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've become a bit dumb to these senses because these were our survival tools.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to what you were asking me about, am I a medium? Yes, we're all mediums. You're a medium. You know, you're a medium there, sit behind me, chicken. You're a medium. We're all mediums because what you're doing actually as a job is delivering information through the medium of.
Yes. Podcasts.
Okay, podcasts. Through the medium of radio, through the medium of television, to journalism, medium. You are the medium because it's through you that the information is flowing, going, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
From.
Yeah.
So we're all actually mediums. And we're all actually psychic.
Mm.
And we all have these abilities. But some people have them very much stronger than others.
Mm-hmm.
And you can develop them. If you tune into the one that's most, you're mostly kind of attuned to, mm-hmm. which for me, I was fucking killed trying to be clairvoyant. My eyes were crossed. I couldn't. Why can't I see the spirit world? And because I was clairsentient and I needed to accept that first.
Yes.
I need to accept it's because I feel.
Yeah.
It's because I'm such an empath. I'm a feeler. You know, I like to touch. I'm very touchy.
Yeah.
I like to kind of touch people or hug people, you know, or, you know, help people.
Mm.
And the last one, which is, you know, fix people. But you can't.
Mm.
I've learned that you can't, but you can try guide them.
How long did it take you to learn that you can't fix people?
It did take me a while, to tell you the truth. I always thought I naturally just wanted to help.
Mm.
Maybe help for, you know, in the beginning was something that I was always kind of a caring person.
Mm.
I come from a big family, a family of 10. There's 10 children. I'm a twin. So I have a twin sister, Patricia. She lives in Italy with her husband in Como.
Fab.
And then we have 4 younger siblings and 4 older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So we were smack into the middle there.
Yeah.
But I always felt like I was just a little helper, carer kind of person. You know, we all have our personalities, like every family. Everyone has different personalities going on. Do you know what I mean? But I always want, I always thought I was going to be a nurse.
Mm.
You know, well, yeah, got dealt a little bit of a different hand, took a different pathway, you know, no regrets on the direction of my life.
Mm.
But I always thought I was going to be a nurse because I wanted to just help people, fix people. And I did have a few experiences when I was younger at home. Indeed, the house where we lived in Coolock, 75 Day Road, we discovered we all had fucking experiences in it later on in life. We were doing, some of us were astral traveling out of her fucking sleep and everything. So,
you're kidding, yeah, what?
I was dragged out, getting dragged out of bed by an armor and things like that.
So an armor?
My arm.
Oh, your
by
arm.
My arm. Couldn't see what that was. But a few of us, yeah, would have had some experiences. But my mother, when she moved there, she moved from Abbey Street. And me and my twin were born in 53 Middle Abbey Street.
Wow.
Up above the gym there. My mum and dad lived there with the grandparents. Small little. They used to maintain the building.
Wow.
And there was obviously four kids she had. And then we came along. Six crammed into probably a two bedroom, do you know?
Yeah.
And then we moved to Coolock, and that was in the country when we moved from, you know, town to Coolock. Yeah. And when we moved to Coolock, like, she didn't know what to do. She said, how am I going to furnish this house? It was a three bedroomed house, upstairs, downstairs, you know, space. Bathroom, blah, 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 yeah. Space. But I'll always remember my mum telling me that she seen in one of the downstairs rooms, she used it as a bedroom. We called it our dining room. There was a sitting room, a dining room, and a kitchen. So she used that as a bedroom. Mm. And she remembers waking up with a man standing at the end of the bed, a tall man with a top hat. Used to frighten the fucking life out. I was going, man. And she said, no, that's real. I'm telling you, that's a real story, you know. And as a younger child, she would have had a few other experiences as well. So whether that just follows down in the family as well, you know. I think a lot of us in the family had experiences, you know.
Yeah.
Some didn't talk about it. And then when we did, my brother would open up and say, yeah, I used to have that mad trippy feeling of being lifting up by my sleep and flying. And I used to lift up my sleep. I could feel it happening and you become paralysed. And, and there is a word for that. There is a name for that.
It's like sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
But when you start to kind of be active in it, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So I used to go towards a light. I always went towards a light, so the landing light would be on and there'd be a window at the top of the door, and I'd start going there, and as soon as I got to there, I'd come back.
Wow.
And wake up. That happened to me loads of times when I was younger, and as I said, some of my sisters as well in the house. And then I remember seeing I was probably about 7 or 8, and I remember getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, which would be out on the landing. The toilet would be the top of the stairs, and my brother, funny enough, was in the bathroom, was in the toilet at the time. And I'm sitting on the top step.
Mm.
And a little girl said to me, do you know you can fly down them stairs? Now, I stood up to actually jump from the top step. And my brother opened the bathroom door and went, what are you doing? And I went, I was just going to fly down the stairs. And he went, get into bed. Oh, no, I have to go to the toilet. And I remember that as clear as anything,
wow.
You know. So that was a young age, remembering some kind of experience. So then you just kind of leave it to the wayside. Life takes over. You're into your teen years and life takes over. You're more interested in going out, boys, doing what you do, parties or discos and things like that. Do you know what I mean? So you kind of, that kind of, and then and now and again you'd get a little incident and then you just brush it off, you know. But always still, even in my teenage years, I was always the sensible one, a little bit more sensible than my twin.
Yeah.
She was always a little wilder.
Yeah.
And I'd be going, you're going to get me into fucking terrible trouble. Shh. She'd be going, shh. And I'd go along with her, you know. But all in good fun as well. But she was a little wilder, you know. And then I would have been a little bit quieter and a little bit more sensible, you know. I'd say no. Because why? Because probably my sensitivity would be going, danger, danger.
Yeah.
Don't go to that party. You're going to be out too late. You know, and then she'd go, come on. I can't go home without you. We used to have this thing where we wouldn't go home without each other.
Yeah,
if we went out
with
each other. And my dad used to say, if you go out together, you'd be back together.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even if she met some fella or someone she was kissing, I might be standing there looking at him. He'd be going, send your sister home. I can't go home without her.
Yeah, proper order.
But going through the years, so I guess I was always always aware that was something else there.
Yes.
Didn't know what it was. Didn't get into trying to find out until my later years. I had already had Darren and Carol, so I was 22 by the time I had the both of those
boys.
And they were in school, we'll just say, and I kind of, you know, I was stay-at-home mom. Willie's, my husband, like, in construction all his life, working very hard, yeah. still does, you know, and he, and very old school, so he'd be like, you know, the provider.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah,
I'd be just the housewife and minding the kids.
Mm.
And I tell you, it was about when I was 29, a friend of mine who just lived across the road from me, we started to get into the talking about stuff like that one time. I never went to mediums. I never went and had readings. I was terrified of, you know, if it was too dark, that something evil was going to get me and all of that, you know. So I was a bit frightened of that.
Yeah.
So my friend Audrey, who has passed away, her birthday's coming up on Thursday. And so is Josh, my son's girlfriend, Larissa. She, her birthday is this Tuesday as well. So shout out to you, Larissa. Happy birthday. And she bought me my first deck of tarot cards, Audrey.
Wow.
My friend. And I was like, I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait to get home, read up on them, open them up. And I had the time. What happened was I had the time when the boys were in school.
Yeah.
I started doing meditation by myself and sitting, you know, sitting in there. And I remember my friend Audrey coming across to me. She said, I haven't seen you in days. I was going, you know, I had books out of the library. You know, and you could take fucking six or something home with you. you know, keep them for 3 months or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was it. It was like a sponge then. It opened up another world and it connected me into something that I felt I needed to kind of, I needed to investigate. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Needed to investigate. So, yeah, so that's where it started.
Mm.
And then I was reading for friends with my cards and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, I still had the book to side going, hold on. No, no, you're not going to win any money. But, you know, you could be lucky. You could be lucky. Do the lotto and here's my number and give me a call later. So, you know, no, joking aside, I did a lot of that for practice and stuff like that with friends. And then I started to go to the mind, body, spirit in the RDS. I started to go to that every time it came, twice a year. Doing some meditation. I got serious, more serious about it, buying crystals. Crystals was in my life a long time, by the way, before that as well, into my late teens, mid to late teens. And I got into crystals, liked them. What's that for? Thank you. I'll have that.
Yeah.
And I remember going to pick a crystal in the RDS, the guy selling the crystals. You know, they were all out on the thing. And he said, he picked a rose quartz and put it towards me and said, here, maybe you'd like this. It's rose quartz. It's to bring more love into your life. And I nearly took his fucking head off. I went, well, I don't fucking need any more love in my life. Thanks very much. Yeah, you can take that one fucking back. I was probably standing there that long, right? Trying to pick a stone.
Yeah, that you were like, just take
I
that,
was like
you?
Tripping on all the stones. I was like going, oh, I just don't know. It was like looking at loads of goodies, sweets or something, and I didn't know which one to choose.
Yeah.
And of course, now I know, you know, you just allow yourself. It doesn't matter how long, how you feel, you know, and go with that. So, you know, him telling me I may need more love in my life at that point.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't need love in my life. I had love in my life, you know.
Yeah.
But when I realised, really, it's about loving yourself.
Yes.
You know, I had love. I had love for my husband, my kids. But starting to love yourself, that was a whole different journey.
Yes.
Like, that's a whole different journey in itself, loving yourself. Because, first of all, if you can't define really what love is. It's just too many layers of it, you know.
Yeah.
So starting to love yourself, I really didn't get into loving myself until I was probably in my mid-40s, started thinking about me, loving me and doing. And by that stage, of course, I had the two boys when I was 22. And then there was a huge gap. There was 10 years. Then I had Josh.
Wow.
I was 32 and I had Josh. And I had started, that opened, my spiritual journey as well had started at that time as well. So I'll never forget it because I have Darren and I have had Carl. And I'll never forget the day I told the two of them that we told them that we were going to have a baby. There was none of this gender reveal around going on. I think you're talking 22 years. Like, but when I told the two of them, right, so Darren just took it like a duck went over his head.
Yeah.
Carl took it very bad.
Right. Yeah. What star sign is Carl?
Carl is a Leo.
Oh, me too.
Fiery. passionate and, you know.
Fuming at another number coming in the gap.
Fuming. And I, what? He said, what? And he's 10 now at this point. Yeah. He's 10, just about 10. And I said, yeah, we're going to, me and your dad's going to have another baby. Here he is looking at me like, ooh. And I'll probably in his head, middle child syndrome kicked in straight away. And he, right up until I brought Josh home, Carl still wasn't happy about that situation, you know. And then I remember it was the day I came home. I put him in the little basket and I said to Carl, will you watch your little brother there while I go up to the toilet?
Yeah.
And he had still had his little hat on him and all that in his nest, you know, when you bring them home in the little nest thing. And he stood there like a soldier at the side of the thing, you know. But when I came down, the child must have been struggling. The hat was like, I don't know to this day if the hat was pulled down or the child was struggling that much that the hat came down over his head. But Carl was just standing there. He didn't fix it or anything. He was just standing there. And I went, Carl, the baby's hat. And he went, yeah, well, you just told me to stand here, which I did. Yeah. I just said, will you stand there while I go to the toilet?
Fair enough.
But it took a little while for him to warm up. But they're fine now. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah. What star sign is Carl?
Carl is Leo.
Oh, sorry. No, what? Josh, sorry.
Josh is Capricorn.
Ooh, you have a nice mix there now.
I have
now.
A Sagittarius. Shane
is that's what I'm going to say. Teddy or Darren, as you call him. Sagittarius, a Leo and a Capricorn.
And I'm a Pisces.
He told me you were a Pisces. I'm a Leo, but my moon sign is Pisces.
Yeah.
And
that's when you're all, when you get the all emotional. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
The leadership qualities are there, but then you have your moments.
Absolutely,
because it's all or nothing, or then you know, when you can't get it your way, it's like, oh,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I'm very headstrong.
When I tell you a little freaky thing about my husband is Capricorn,
go away.
So, I'll tell you a little synchronized situation about that, So, Willie's Capricorn, and his birthday is the 3rd of January, 1966.
Yeah.
And mine is the 1st of March, 1966. So I'm the 1st of the 3rd, 66, and he's the 3rd of the 1st, 66.
Wow.
Right? So kind of same numbers going on, same numbers.
Yeah.
And Josh was born on Willie's birthday.
No way.
So he and his birthday is the 3rd of the 1st, 99.
Very interesting.
99. Where Darren was 85.
Yeah.
And Carl was 88.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. A lot of people listening will be like, it's just numbers. It's just. But when you read into numerology.
I went to a numerologist.
Did you? Yeah, How did you get on? Because numerology is a new thing to me now. I've just found out I had a soul reading, my life path number, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it opened up, blew the mind off me. Do you know what I mean?
So I went to another mind body spirit event, and I seen this lady twice, and I seen a queue for her, and I said, excuse me, I said, not today, the next time I come I'm going to go straight to her, be on her queue early.
Yeah.
She had a few people waiting, numerologist, she was German. And so you know, she said hello, sit down. I said hi, that's it. I was going to come last time, but here I am now. Anyway, how are you? So I said, right, so she said, like, give me your date of birth and we'll start there and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it turned into I was a number 8 and I should be
like
I should be millionaire right now. I should be running my own business and I should be doing this. All, you know, she was telling me all this and I was, oh, fuck, why am I not? Why?
Yeah.
Because my path was a different pathway as well. Yeah. Not that I can't, because I know I can do certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Financially try and make money in different ways. And she said, you're a leader, you're a teacher.
Yeah.
And la, la, la. And I said, now, I'm going to give you, I didn't want a reading for my husband, but I said, I just want to ask you about this. I said, here's my husband's date of birth as well. And she went, oh my God, like 2 8s, 2 8s, you know, coming together. You know, that makes for a fantastic financial situation and all that. But very creative energy, being able to create things and all that. And I said, he is very creative. He created a couple of children and stuff like that. But other than that, he's really good with his hands, I said. He can create lots of stuff.
Your poor children listening to this.
Yeah, but they'd be, you know, they'd know his sense of humour. And he'd be listening to it as well. But he knows, really great with his hands. He's very good at making things, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's obviously where Teddy, where Darren gets it from as well.
Yeah, but is it, you know, the creativity flows through the whole lot of us. Yeah. Do you know that way? Yeah, in some way, shape or form. Not big enough, Anton, but when you realise it, it's there, you know.
Yeah.
It's there. So she looked at the numbers and she went, oh my God, that's so unusual. It's so unusual to see, you know, a partnership. And then she looked at me being Pisces and him being Capricorn.
Yeah.
And he's very earthy and I'm watery, you know.
Mm.
So he grounds me. I just flow off into other fucking realms. He goes, girl, you want to get your fucking clogs back on you. Come back down off that cloud you're on, out of that planet that you're, you know, and you've created in your own mind, by the way, because it's not reality.
Yeah.
So I got used to that, you know what I mean? That's okay with me, because, you know, he wouldn't have the same beliefs as I do. And that's fine, but always supported me, I have to say, and still does. Supports me in what I do.
That's lovely.
And it still does to this day and hopefully forever. So, yeah, so she said it is very unusual to see he's getting on there, she said, and how he's getting on. And I said, yeah, we get on very well. We were married. We'd be 34 years married coming up this year. So, you know, if we really hated each other, we wouldn't be together. So there's something there that keeps you there. Yeah. Not easy. Married life's never easy. It's a work in progress all the time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And staying. Keeping it fresh. I'm not going to go anywhere there, but keeping it kind of, you know, from going completely stale.
Yeah.
You've got to. So we break out and do our own little thing now and again. Go. We love going to Tara. We're very connected going up there spiritually as well. Newgrange, sacred sites in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, we drive around now. We do all of them. That's our thing now, you know. So we love doing stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Lovely.
So we're open and into all of that. And Willie is just Irish true and true to me. You know what I mean? He's pure Irish.
Where was
Republican.
He born?
Born here. Born in East Wall.
East Wall, lovely.
Yeah.
Down the road.
You know what I mean? So very true dub and, you know, pure Irish as well.
Yeah.
You know, Irish.
So how, like, I suppose I'm trying to get a better understanding of, you know, when someone comes to you, like, what is the feeling? What do you feel? What comes through you that allows you to be able to do what you do?
Well, first of all, I'll go back to what I said about being sentient or clairsentient.
Yeah.
So I make it clear when someone wants a reading of me. And first and foremost, I read tarot, oracle cards, tarot cards, crystal work, chakra work, healing, all of those things I have under my belt. And shamanic, I'm getting into shamanic as well now, a lot more into shamanic stuff as well.
Yeah.
I've done a good bit of work on it. A good bit of work on shamanic stuff as well. So first of all, when someone comes to me, I make it clear that I'm, you know, if you want a full on mediumship reading with all your loved ones coming in and hopefully whoever it is you want, because we actually, you can't choose who comes in.
Yeah.
You know, you can't choose who comes in. So I said, but first and foremost, I'm a reader, a tarot reader. And if you want to look into your physical world, because tarot is all about the physical realm. Your physical world, your life journey, the wheel of life of what's been, you know, happening past, present, future. And I tend to deal more in present and looking into the future. Don't worry too much about past, but healing needs to be done from past in order to kind of move into the future and stuff like that. So I talked them through that, but I say keep an open mind, because I will. And if anything else happens between us, I will say that to you. So I prep myself for that. So I never take spirit for granted. I never take it for granted. It is a gift, you know what I mean? So I don't take that gift for granted. I just open up and see what happens. And I say to the person coming to me, just open your mind and see what happens. And some people go away very surprised, crying, amazed. It might be only one or two little words that I'll have, you know, I'll say that I'll pull forward. Do you know what I mean? So I might say, Mary's here. I'm not great with the names, but when they come in, I'm usually okay. You know, they go, oh, that's me granny. Or I feel like there's an older lady here stepping in on your left side, which to me would be on your mother's side of the family.
Wow. Always. You saying that for
me? Yeah.
Mary.
Well, I'm connecting to a woman coming through on the mother's side of the family. How's that feeling? Are you getting all chilly?
Yeah, that's my mother's name.
There you go. Yeah. And it would be on your mother's side of the family. So therefore, because you're open, you're sitting there, you're open to that, you're open to realising that. Did you have a little dog? Is there little dogs in your family? Is there a little dog anywhere in the family? I just see a small dog, and she kind of lifted it up in her arms. So I don't know if that's a dog that passed that was part of a family, you know, pet.
Oh, we've had a couple of dogs pass.
Okay. That's... I will just give the colour then a tan, nice tan kind of colour dog.
Is this in my mum's family?
She's just letting me know that there's a dog in the spirit as well, in the spirit world as well. So look at me and stop thinking for a minute. So look at me and stop thinking for a minute. So that we could just keep the train of talk going. Yeah. Because it is that connection where I feel that something comes to my mind and I trust and I'll just give it out. And if it fits, it fits. Yeah. That's the way I work. I work with my reading. Mm. But as something comes forward, if something comes forward, like I'm getting chills, I usually get it all around my legs, by the way.
I have them in my stomach.
That's a little anxious.
Is that anxiousness?
And it's just a little, it's your feeling, your gut. Your solar plexus activating.
Yeah.
And that's where we feel it as well. So yeah, definitely I felt a lovely energy of a mother or a grandmother feeling. The name Mary came in very clear. I give it some to some people might say, no, it wasn't Mary. It was, I said, don't worry about the name then. Lovely feeling of a woman coming in. And so therefore I'll continue reading. And as we're connecting and reading, if more comes, we just keep going. I just keep going. I go to the reading. I go to what spirit is trying to say. Yeah. Also, as she's there, she's with the granddad. The granddad is also there with her. So your granddad's just come in, put his hand on her shoulder, and he's walked forward as well. So he's standing behind her. She must have been a strong woman. Did she have a good presence about her?
I never met her. She died before I was born.
Well, you know, she's been there in your life. She's been part of your life. She understands you.
Wow.
Yeah, she understands you. You will see her. You'll see her in a dream, but you won't. You'll ask who it is. You'll ask your mum. What did she look like? Reconnect to her and see what you get from her. My legs are freezing, so definitely your spirit world is around you. You know what I mean? So, because the sentient part of me feels the feeling, I feel the feeling, feel the flow.
Yeah.
I can't ignore that. I have to give that little piece of information. Then I go back to using my cards. And usually what's happening with the reading is what's actually happening in your physical world.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you some guidance. Guidance is a word I like, guidance. I'm going to give you some guidance and it's up to you, you know. And if you're concerned about anything, you ask the question as we shuffle and pick the cards. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I have learned to do is hone in my own way of delivering maybe a message to someone from spirit. I don't attack people in the street going, your granny's walking beside you. Your granny called me to tell you, because that's not right. I don't think that's right. For me, I have to establish a connection with the person. So I have to sit with that person, you know, get the lovely energy flow going. Because the spirit comes with you. I didn't bring your granny here. I don't know who she is, and I didn't bring her here. Yeah. She's looking down, by the way. I'm looking at her lovely shoes. Ask your mum about shoes. Did she like to dance? Do you know anything about her?
I don't know anything about, but my mum is a former dancer.
Oh, well, she's shown me the shoes, the dancing shoes. Yeah, she's shown me the dancing shoes.
Yeah, my mum used to dance.
Like, well, the nanny's kind of lifting her skirt up and she is showing me shoes. So that's in reference probably back to your mum as well. Yeah. Oh, and I know that there's a bracelet connection as well. Just go back to your mum. She might know the information on the bracelet. What are you doing?
I try to ring my mum.
Yeah.
Let's ask her.
On speaker.
Give it over to you, so no, I'm telling you.
She could be in work now. She might not answer. That's weird.
She'd be saying, who have you got in that studio with you?
She knows what I'm like. Every time something happens where I go to a medium, I always ring her. And I'm always like, "Is Mom?
Yes.
Hiya, I'm just recording the podcast at the moment, okay? But I'm going to put you on speakerphone, okay?
Right,
1 second. There's nothing wrong.
What's her name?
Pat. Right, okay. I'm here with a lady called Colette right now. You're on the podcast, okay?
Myself?
Yes, we can hear you, right?
I can say anything.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Listen, you're live now. You're on speakerphone. Okay, yes. I'm here with a lady called Colette, and she's a medium, right?
Yes, yeah.
So she said that... Well, Colette, I'll let you. Oh, you won't be able to hear it when I. So
she can't hear me. Yeah.
Go on. Can you hear Colette?
Can you hear me, Pat?
Yes, I think. Yes, yeah.
Hi, Pat. I'm just here.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good with Lydia. And she's just asking me to describe how I would get connect to the spirit world. And sometimes it's quite different than what you think. And I told her I worked through my feeling. And what I was feeling was a woman coming in around your daughter on her left side. So I said, that is your grandmother connected to your mum's side of the family. And her name is Mary. And I said, she's a lovely woman. She gives me a very warm feeling about her. And I also said, why is she looking down at her shoes? Did she dance? Did she wear dancing shoes? And Lydia said, you danced.
Yes.
So she's probably given me the connection between you and her with the dancing shoes. And also a small dog seemed to be around her. And I would say that, like, that tan-coloured small, kind of, I'm not going to say Pomeranian, but I wouldn't say they were very popular, like, a good few years back, but definitely a tan, a light-coloured brown dog.
Yes, we had a tan and brown dog.
So Mum, seriously, I can't remember a dog.
Yes.
And she's also making reference, by the way, to a bracelet. A lovely bracelet. It's I'm tapping my left wrist, and I feel like it was... It's an old bracelet. Do you have a bracelet belong to her, Pat?
No, I don't. Belong to my grandmother. No.
No, your mother.
It's a grandmother.
Oh, my mother. My mother. Do I have a bracelet? No, I don't.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I just feel something about a bracelet, so we'll just leave the bracelet there. It's fine.
And also,
but she did buy me a bracelet.
Well, that would be it.
That I still have.
Well, that's the bracelet, Mum.
She's just making reference to it, and that's called validation. Just to validate that your lovely daughter still, her energy is in around her. And when you look at your daughter Lydia, does she remind you of her?
Yes, she would be. Yes, she would have a resemblance.
Do I?
Yes.
That's strange that you said that, because I had photographs up of my mother there for Mother's Day, and a friend texted me and said Lydia was the image of my mother. Oh my
God. Perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, I definitely feel
that's amazing. Yeah.
And because Lydia said she didn't meet her, and I said, don't worry about that, because there's a resemblance there around you. And your dad then comes in behind her. To me, he stands behind her with his hand on her shoulder. So I'm not going to say a quiet man, but I just feel he looks well-dressed in my mind's eye. I just feel like he was a gentle soul. Did your mum have this?
Well, that's amazing. Yes, he was a very, very reserved, quiet man.
Yeah, he was. He didn't open his mouth. Mum, I'm not even joking. I haven't said any of this to Cliff. I've met her for the first time like half an hour ago. How weird is this? Go on, can I keep going?
I feel like he was a gentleman, a kind, soft man behind her. So she wore the trousers, but she didn't. She wore an apron, but
yes, she did.
She had the trousers
on
as well.
Yeah.
So she is just coming around saying, thank you, thank you, thank you as well. I feel like, is there a birthday celebration coming up in around your family? Is there someone in around your family, or is there a birthday or anniversary connected into her coming up?
To her coming up, no.
In your family then?
Well, no, just my sister had birthday the weekend.
Mum, that's it.
Yeah, that's the fact is
that's
she was aware.
Yes,
yeah, she just been lovely because it was a marked celebration, as in we're in COVID. I know we can't do much.
Yes,
but that is super. I am so proud. I said to Lydia, I don't take for granted the fact that if that information is flowing in, I'll just give it over because that's how I work. I don't take for granted that your granny or anyone would come in. Actually, I was thinking on the way, and I hope fucking Lydia doesn't ask me anything about me to do any mediumship on her.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm a spiritual person. I open up that way. And Lydia is very open to it. And that makes things a lot easier for the medium as well. And so put your dancing shoes on, Pat.
Questions, Lydia.
Yeah.
Well, I've still got more to go. Listen, I'll let you go, Ma, but Cliff said to put your dancing shoes on.
And I'll leave their love with you. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I certainly will. I'll keep tripping.
Keep tripping and tapping. That's it.
Okay, Ma'am, love you. I'll talk
much.
To you soon.
Bye.
Right,
bye.
See you later. Bye, bye, bye. Love you. Gas. Colette, that is nuts. I didn't know about the dog.
Didn't know about the granny or the dog.
Didn't know about the granny.
Didn't know about any.
Like, I didn't know. I knew she danced. And my aunt had her birthday at the weekend. So my mom was like, oh, I'm going to send her in a load of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was very much acknowledging and knowing. And that's where our loved ones kind of want us to know. They're still part of our family.
Yeah.
They're actually still part of what's happening in our lives. And they want to kind of... They want to get in on it as well. They want to be remembered while we're remembering things or celebrating things and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. God. So. And it's funny. My mom's mom has never come through for me before.
I was going to ask you, have you ever had that lady through for you before?
No. Yeah. No. She's never come through for me. I've had people say different people have come through.
Your granddad likes, I've been a wild rover for many years. And that's a song, but your mum can answer that question another time. But that's the song they're giving me. And I get a lot of messages through songs, by the way.
This is the weirdest thing.
I've been a wild rover for many
a year.
And I'm
telling
you.
My granddad used to sing that to me.
Look at your eyes all watering
up. Weird.
And he's singing that to you now. He's standing beside you singing, I've been a wild rover for many years.
That's so weird. Mm.
And it's no, and the chorus. And the chorus was like, you really had to, like we do, bump up the chorus. Pump up the jam, but they bumped up the chorus. But he is reminding you as well, you know. You have something there that they really feel, even though you might not have met her. She definitely knows about you and you definitely resemble her. So, and there's the proof with your mum saying about the picture. That was amazing. I give thanks to guides. Here's another thing I want to talk about. I work with my spirit guide. My spirit guide's name is Joe.
Mm.
Now, for years, I wanted spirit guides and I wanted a lovely Native American one.
So did I.
With feathers and
a lovely Cherokee.
Maybe nothing on top, but feathers and a little thing, you know, gone. And I always thought, everyone's going, oh, my guide is Standing Bull and Sitting Bear and all of these things, right? And I go, why can't I have one of those? And it's like a woman in Willy Wonka. I want one of those, you know, being real. But I never met my guide until 2004. And all the work I was doing trying to meet my guide and all.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I happened in a dream. Pisces are the dreamers, obviously, of the sign, of the astrology signs. And I'm laughing because I'd say to Willie, I need to tell you this dream. He'd be going, oh, here we go. Anyway, I had this dream. I was on an aeroplane. I got onto an aeroplane. And actually, even the plane, when I was walking, getting onto it, it looked like something of an old 70s Starsky and Hutch film that was kind of... in bits, the plane, you know, the colouring and all was all wrong with 70s colours, that orange and brown and all. It was rickety. The plane was rickety. And I'm getting onto this plane and I'm going, where the hell am I going? So off I go and I land on a street in New York. Talk about the streets in New York where my sister lived. I landed on her road. And I get off the plane and I asked him to land there, like the way it'd stop a bus. Can you stop here? 9518 Linden Boulevard. Can you stop here? I just need to run into my sister for a minute. So it was like that, was taxiing down the road. Yeah. I got off and I flew in and I said to her, hell yeah. And she's going, oh. And I said, can't stay. The plane is out there for me. I got back on. I said, I have to go. I have to get back on the plane. Got back on the plane.
Yeah.
So flew back home. Now I'm sitting on the plane in a seat like pretty much like this, very singular on my own, and it's shaking and I can hear it. It's all rickety. The plane's all fucking rickety.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to like crash. This plane is going down. So it didn't go down.
Mm.
So I said to myself, I'm going to get off before it goes down. So again, I said, can I get off now? You know, like, can I get off now? So I stood up to get off. And at the door, as I let the door down, there was this man standing there in a long kind of a grey coat. Mm. I mean, not unlike the colour of your carpet there, right? That charcoal-y grey.
Yeah.
He had a snow white beard and white hair. And he's standing at the door. And I am kind of saying, excuse me.
Yeah.
Can I get off here? And he said, can I get off with you? He said to me. And I just turned around and looked at him. He had the most amazing piercing blue eyes. And I was like, the Twilight Zone. And I just went, yeah, of course you can. So both of us walked down the steps together. He told me his name was Joseph. Yeah. Both of us walked down the steps together. And there was a big railings there, right? And I went, oh my God, I have to get over this railings. Mm. Like, I'm like now in a in an airport, but I'm in a part of the airport where it's like all wire railings thing all around. And I'm going, oh, I'm going to have to get over here. And I'm standing looking out that way. And I turned around to say to him, how are we going to get out of here? Mm. Gone. He wasn't there. But on the ground was this feather that was a huge feather. I mean, it was about 3 foot. 3 foot long and a brownie colour. It wasn't a white feather. And I was going, wasn't a fluffy thing, right? It was a big brown feather. And I'm going, oh my God. Anyway, woke up out of that dream and I knew. I went, that is my spirit. Now, the night before, I wasn't thinking about spirit guides. Yeah. Probably for weeks I wasn't.
Yeah.
I went, oh my God, I met my spirit guide. So I was teaching a development circle at the time in 2004 down in Baldoyle. And so we had very tuned in psychic people in this class as well, which is great when you're doing development because, you know, you can get stuff and it's brilliant. Yeah. And I walked in and usual bit of chat. We always laugh, bit of chat, bit of banter and all that. And then it was like, calm down, everybody, now. Come on, we're going to meditate, whatever.
Yeah.
And she said to me, when you walked in here, she said, somebody walked in with you and his name is either Joe or Joseph.
Holy moly.
And this was like a couple of nights after that. And I always say, wait for validation. It's going to come, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. You're going to see it. If you see it more than 3 times, that's it. It's validated. And I just said, thanks very much. I said, that is my spirit guide. And that's all.
Yeah.
I said, validation. Then I'm driving home and one of these big trucks drive past me and Joe, something was on it, the name. I went, oh.
Yeah.
And the third validation I got was my brother had passed away. So this is going down into the December in 2007. It's a few years after. And I always want to know, are you still there? Are you with me? But you have to learn to trust that they are.
Okay.
And forget about looking for the signs because just you need to trust. Once they give you that validation.
Yeah.
So my brother passed away in 2007, my brother John. He was only 47, took a massive heart attack. And that was a shock to the family. And he's from Malahide, drank in Malahide and stuff like that. So I remember we were going out to Gibney's, a few of the family members, to meet up to have a drink, you know, just after he passed. And it's lashing rain. Mm. And the taxi pulled in and I got out of the taxi. And they ran across the road and I'm fumbling for my umbrella to open it, you know, push it open. And I opened my umbrella, right? And just there on the ground was a feather about that length, huge brown feather. But where the hell did this feather come from? Like, I still have that feather. It's in bits. Where did that feather come from? And I went, oh, Joe, you're here with me. I knew my guide was there with me.
Yeah.
And I knew my brother was connected to me as well. So, you know, I know when somebody is listening to me and I know especially some of my own family, they're going, you never told me that, Ma.
Yeah.
Well, you might have had me signed in long before now, but I've been telling you everything. But the journey, you said to me about the journey you're on, Colette, the journey just, it's just magical. You know, when you decide to take a new path, to develop something, to learn new things and understand that the world doesn't just revolve around eat, sleep, work, that, you know, there's more out there, there's more to it, and that your spirit family are always there. So angels came into my life in around that time then as well, 2003. And I connected with doing meditation, connected with a lovely angel called Raphael, as you may know, is the healing angel. And I remember because I wasn't a seer, of course I wanted to see the fucking angel. I wanted to sing. Why can't I sing? The angel. And everybody was waking up out of their coma going, I saw this beautiful angel. And it was, and I was going, lovely, that's lovely. But what happened to me was, and I had to be honest at the time, you know, the teacher that was there said to me, I remember getting very flushed, hot. You know, I wasn't in the menopause here or anything. I'm young, right?
Yeah.
I remember getting hot and this rush and this colour green just washing over me.
Wow.
Like the colour, amazing colour. And it was amazing green.
Mm.
And I told her that and she went, you know, your angel, one of your angels or the angel that is working with you is Raphael. Well, then I opened the doorway to the angel realm and I got to study angelology. I got to do a lot of study around angels,
yeah,
a lot of understanding. And my belief today about angels is they are God-given. They are created by the creator to assist, guide and take care of everything that's going on in the universe, by the way, not just on this little planet that we're on.
Yes.
So they've bigger jobs to do as well. But your guardian angel is given to you at birth and it's keeper of your soul. And that angel comes with you through many lifetimes. And if you believe, you do reincarnate. But that angel is keeper of your soul. That angel is not allowed change, not your guardian angel. So just say, I'm God, and your guardian angel goes, God, Lydia is wrecking me head. Can I have someone else as my soul? Can I connect to someone else? God says, no. Your soul purpose, guardian angel, is to be with Lydia. It's soul purpose to be with you. Now, the archangels then are completely different. We have to invite in the archangels. They're completely different. They're angelic beings, but they're overseers. They're overseers of your guardian angel. They're overseers of all different things. They all have their own unique thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for healing, Raphael, he works with all the healers, the medics, anyone in service, anyone helping, anyone, you know, healing. Michael is one of the ones that you're going to hear, very common one, and he is the protector, but he also removes negativity, so he's really good to know and how to get around when you're working in spirit, with spirit and the spirit realms. Your guide also, is a protector for you as well. He's my gatekeeper, so I do not allow, he will not allow negativity in around me when I'm working especially. But that's not to say I couldn't pick up negativity.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't let it harm me.
Yeah.
You know, so then you have all the different angels, different purposes, different things through all religions, by the way, and going back to as far as mankind can recall. Right. So
how does one class decipher? So like, again, I can only talk about, like, we'll say my own experiences, and I'm very much in, I've been told that I have a very young soul. I've been told that my soul is a child. I've been told that, like, my gift is connection, in connecting people, which when I first heard that, I was like, this blows my mind, because obviously my company is called Fight Connect TV. I have the podcast First Exchange. I communicate. It's, I love talking. I love people, you know, I love understanding more about, and I do see the world in quite a childlike way.
Yeah, which is great, yeah.
And then when I started getting into the more, you know, meditation and Reiki and, you know, working with shamanic healer and different things, and I started to experience, you know, what I believe is being in contact with my soul and a voice within that has answered me when I've asked questions, when I'm in a deep meditative state or I'm doing Reiki. And then also I've had pretty much every single time since now I'm aware of it when I have Reiki, like a collective, and it's almost like, if you can see where my head is, like around my head.
I can't see them. There's seven around your head. And they're quite religious looking, so I'm going to connect them into your religion as well, what you believe.
Yeah.
Partly to Jesus. There's also, there'll be Mother Mary. There'll be Jesus, Mother Mary. There'll also be Padre Pio. Also comes in as well. You have a few saints in there, a couple of a kind of ones that you would connect with very well. And then you have Jesus as well as being the main one coming in.
This is, that's, and like, so I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, like myself.
Right? But
Don't mix up religion with the spirituality thing.
This is the question. You know, like,
that's what messed us all up.
Yes, exactly. And that's when I feel like you say anything about like saints or anything, you know, Jesus or Mary, anything, people are like, oh, the Catholic Church.
I work with Mary as well. Love when Mother Mary comes in. Very aware of that.
This is very prevalent for me because I can hear them.
Good.
They talk. I know this sounds like, I know I can say it to you, but Shane is looking at me like a batshit crazy. But when I'm under that, they repeat to me all the time, you are safe, you are protected, we are here. And I've always felt like something is protecting me.
I love that. And you use the word the collective, which is great.
Yeah.
Because that is the collective energy that is with you.
Yeah.
And you are connected into that. You have a purpose. And don't worry about trying to, you're fulfilling the purpose so far. Know that you're fulfilling it, because you know the way people are going around going, what's my life purpose?
Yes. I ask it every time on this show. I say to myself, what do you feel like your soul purpose is or your life purpose is?
So you're saying soul purpose. I'm saying life purpose.
Yeah.
You're saying your soul is guiding you. I'm saying it's your guardian angel. You're saying it's the collective. It's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Eventually what sits with you, and like I said, I have developed my unique way of doing the work I do. I'm not copying somebody else. I don't want to copy somebody else. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to allow the natural way to just develop in me naturally and to stop trying to be like someone else. Mm-hmm. It's like if I say to you, Lydia, you're a daffodil, so stop trying to be a fucking carnation. Because it's not going to work, you know.
So be
a daffodil. Be the daffodil that you were meant to be. So just draw strength from that. You know, it's a lovely thing. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like you have a purpose. Also, what I want to maybe add into your collective, if you want to, is the Archangel Gabriel. The Archangel Gabriel is the archangel that works with anybody that works in media, and because she was known as the announcing angel. So she brings news and information. So she works with journalists, artists, musicians, and anybody that brings something from their soul to the world. So the Archangel Gabriel would very much be in around you as well. She's also the inner child, the connection to the inner child. Okay, so it is, you know, you'll hopefully never lose that. I guess probably that's why you and Darren, his energy would be very bouncy like yours. So because of that inner child feeling that he still has, you know, and I never would say to my kids, grow up, because I'd never, you know what I mean? We all should keep a part of the inner child alive with us, reconnect to her or him, go into them now and again and go, oh, you were a little tick back then, but I loved you.
But you know,
or whatever.
I'm conscious we're nearly coming to the end of our time. I could talk to you for another 7 hours, but touching on that, do you have an understanding for when we meet people and we instantly have that connection? Yeah. And I don't mean like in a sexual relationship where you're like with a man or a woman or whatever, but just again, my own experience, like when I meet people that for the first time, I feel like I've known them all my life. And again, it's like a trusting child. You know, I instantly just gravitate toward them, trust them, you know. And you know the way you feel people
and
would say that.
And are you usually right with that, trusting? Or have you been burnt on occasion?
I'm usually okay with it. I'm usually not... I can trust my gut and when I meet someone straight off the bat. But what I do have is a very good intuition on people. And very quickly I can, it's almost like if you imagine the aura of like the human, and it's like, it's not even in colour. It's just, I see it.
It's a light. It's an energy.
It's an energy.
It's an energy around a person.
And I say to people like, not, and it's not like, oh, that's an evil person there. But I will be able to feel people's insecurities or pick up and stuff. I believe it's...
You're sentient, clairsentient.
I feel so. Because I can tell. It's what makes me good at my job, because I'm able to adapt to other people's energies very, very easily. And so if you came in here,
a high low vibe,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm saying, same.
You know, so if you had come in and if you were like, you know, really quiet, like last week our guest was very, he was so lovely but very quiet, and he was very, you know, thought deeply, and I instantly, my energy just relaxed. Whereas when your lovely son was in, he's high energy and I was high energy and we were laughing, you know. So it's things like that where I question, I go, guys, you know, energy's real.
And anger is an energy. Anger is an energy. I love that. I don't like your man Lydon, but that when I heard that, I was that line. Anger is an energy. But everything is energy. We're all made up of energy. Yes. Everything is energy. So what's happening is when you get that instant connection with somebody, they say you've probably connected in another lifetime. It's like having deja vu.
Yeah.
It's like you instantly knew them. You just get on. Your soul recognizes each other from maybe another lifetime. Well, that's as best as I can kind of say it without going into really heavy into it.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I believe that we will. You know, you do reincarnate to. It's a tough one for me. I do believe in it, but I do believe it's not you know, every time. You don't keep, I feel like the big lessons, the small ones we can, but the, if there's major stuff to be learned, you may have to come back and do that. That's what I do believe. It's not all everything you don't, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like you robbed a pint of milk or something, you have to come back.
Well, this is this,
and
you
a
know.
Packer of crisps.
Myself and a couple of friends, we have the same sort of belief system in that, you know, I believe that our soul reincarnates, you know, and we are here to learn the lessons and different things. But I always, like, you know, like with something small, like you're saying, I'm like, is that my soul now? Is this a little lesson here? You know what I mean? It could be something ridiculous. Mm. But I suppose to finish on, like, would you have any words of guidance for somebody who was, I suppose, questioning how to connect with themselves more?
Yeah. Yeah.
And bring themselves, like, healing, like you spoke about, you know, not looking to the past, but healing maybe past traumas and different things. Like, how can we use your gifts to help us to be the best version of ourselves, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose. Really, what I'm going to say is I would always recommend, first of all, to start to acknowledge what it is that's happening, what's going on with me, what's happening, why am I feeling this, why is there a search on, why am I questioning things?
Yeah.
Or if I've had trauma and things in my life, am I going to just keep pushing it down until it cripples you eventually, and you're going to have to do it? And a lot of us do push things down, and we go, forget about it, leave it in the past, and then you get bit in the arse, you know what I mean, every now and again it'll come back up. It's up to that person individually, but what I could do personally, what I could do is, it's not magic. I could just give you guidance to go back into yourself. It's all about going back within. It's all about going within and accepting who you are in the moment right now. And yes, we've had stuff happen to us in our past, and yes, you know, it hasn't been good. Okay. And then it's about choices, you know. I'm going to choose to try and, you know, fix that, heal from that, so as that I can move into the, you know, future with a little bit more of, you know, I've learned from that experience. Maybe forgiveness in some cases is very difficult, maybe it's easy, letting go, cutting away, because you know, it's very damaging, you know, to your mental health if you've had different types of trauma, sexual abuse, all those different things can be, you know, really hard on you, you know, or even bad relationships, physical abuse, mental abuse, all those things in one bubble. It can be very traumatic. I would recommend, I think conventional medicine just suppresses all of that stuff. So the doctor might say to you, you know, you're depressed, and here's some antidepressants, and, you know, take them, and before you know it, you're up your strength, and God only knows you're not dealing with it. So it's difficult. It depends. The person has to be strong enough to say, I want help.
Yeah.
And ask for it. And so what kind of stuff alternatively that you can do is, you can do a little bit of healing. Reiki is really lovely. You know, there's all different types. Shamanic work for healing as well. Healing, ancestral healing is really good in the shamanic work.
Yeah.
Really cutting away. And it's because, you know, something, it might be something that stemmed from your ancestral line. In the abuse form or in addiction form and all of that.
How does it pass on to us? Like, is there a way to define how ancestral trauma travels through generation? Because it's not a, you know, ancestral trauma is not like an ideology. It's factual. It's scientifically, you know, there is,
and
the
it's big. That's a big, you know, it's a big question to have a short period of time, and I don't know all the answers. And I'd be forced to put my hand up and say I don't know the answers to everything.
Yeah, of course.
So I would take in the healing journey is one way of looking at yourself and healing yourself and going through the motions, because it's not easy. A healing journey is not easy. My sister would say, my sister Deirdre, she would say, you know, it's messy at the start. I know it's easier, it's rough at the start, messy in the middle, and easier at the end. And, you know, I'm sure that's the way she said it. She'd correct me probably if I'm wrong. But similar like that, you know, that going into it, you know, it's not an easy journey. So therefore, the fear will stop you from taking that journey.
Yeah.
You know, but alternatives, there's so much alternatives out there. Natural, nature is a healer in itself. Natural remedies. And of course, the crystals are all about the vibration and the energy that the crystal emits. And people ask, you know, oh, what does this stone do? You know, and I'm going, okay, You know, you really need to connect to the energy and let the vibration of the stone connect to you. Mm-hmm. It's not a miraculous thing. Magic dust doesn't fall out of it. You really have to wear it. You have to wear your jewelry or you carry your crystals with you in order for your energy and the energy of the crystal to blend together, for it to have any kind of interference in your energy or vibration. So you have to carry around. So new crystals should be carried around for at least a week.
And thank you so
in
much.
In your bra.
Pop this in my bra. You brought me in a beautiful. What is it? It's a
blue agate.
Blue agate.
And it's fabulous. It's dark blue and it works. It's actually stunning. The colour of it there. It works beautiful with the throat. Clears the ear canals, by the way, as well. Clears the throat so that you can be more, I would say, vocal. And it also helps with the third eye and your eyes, your eyesight as
well. This is amazing. Thank you so much. What a gift. And before we go, we must let our listeners know about when we're coming in and we're walking up the stairs. What did you see on the stairs? I still can't believe this has happened.
Well, so I met Lydia outside, and as I'm walking up the stairs, she said, there's absolutely nobody else in this building, only us. And I was going, yeah, that's what you think. And on the stairs was a small plastic blue axe, and I had to pick it up, and I said to Lydia, I feel like Darren left that there for me because it reminds me of Darren's little toys that he used to collect, like the He-Man and all the superheroes and all the little things with the plastic toys. So Darren, I have that for you.
Yeah. So this is you call it Teddy, but Teddy, yeah. Darren, that was in here a couple of episodes ago. Obviously Teddy is her son, and when he was in, he was obviously talking about all his different like creative avenues, and one of them was making figurines and collecting these collectibles. And me and Shane, like, literally we're saying to you since you come in here, there is nobody else in this building. There's four stories, no one in the building. And there's anything.
Four stories, and you only know one. There's three other stories you just don't know about. Right?
Well, and also let's just say that you picked up on the energy of a gentleman on the stairs as well, which is
the janitor at the lift. Yeah,
at the lift. And it's a pity we don't have, like, we must do something because the lift is actually so old. It's like one of the, isn't it? It's like one of
the old
school.
I didn't even see the lift. We came all the way up the stairs, Lydia. Do you remember? I think I lost 5 pounds by the time I got up.
Well, the lift is that in the middle. It's like one of those old school New York kind of vibe.
Oh, that you pull it.
Exactly.
I didn't even look at the lift. I was just going, oh, poor fucking
so, there's so many stairs. Honestly, like, guests get here to the top and they're like, what the hell? Like, you think they get that lift fixed? Mm-hmm. But it's all part of the experience, I'd say.
Actually, elevate your energy.
That's it. But Claire, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, I've enjoyed it.
That was brilliant. And it flew as well. I always know when they fly, it was a good chat.
Yeah.
But that was like, I'm so grateful for you coming in. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was brilliant. We have to stay in touch now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, keep in touch with yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. But thank you for coming in. Any last words before I let you go?
You know something, very grateful for the opportunity to kind of give a little bit of insight into my own story and stuff like that. You know, Claire Darling Facebook and the Queen of Cups Facebook page as well. Divination page, if anybody wants to follow me over there. I'm a bit new to Instagram, so I'm not great at doing the posts there or videos there yet or anything. But, you know.
We'll tag your Instagram so they'll know. We'll tag in it and I'll give you a follow on Facebook as well.
All right.
But thank you so much, Colette Darling, for the First Exchange podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.